Oh, I don't know about you, but I get excited. I get excited about my Lord and my Savior. When we sing about His amazing grace and His wonderful love. Oh, precious. My Lord and my God. How good He is to us. How good He is to us. Thank you, worship team. Precious Lord. You got to just, I'm sorry, but I just can't stop. God's not finished. Woo, He's not finished. He wants some praise this morning from you, from your lips and your heart. Hallelujah. Give Him some glory and praise. Let me tell you something. If you want to stand up and shout, you stand up and shout. You want to praise God, you stand up and lift your hands up, because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you something. He's in the house today, and He will touch your soul if you will let Him touch you. He has delivered you from the tyranny of sin and brought you into a glorious light, and that light is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We don't have to despair. We don't have to not have a hope, but we have a hope. We don't have to hang our heads in shame, because He is the glory and the lifter of our head. He has set us free from the snare of the fowler. And we need to praise Him today. With every fiber of our beings, we need to praise our Lord and our Savior. Oh, praise God. Whew. My Lord and my God. You're in a Pentecostal church, by the way, if you didn't know it by now. And we praise God audibly. And that's okay if you want to sit in quiet and praise God. You do that. Praise God. Whew, I'm telling you. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. How about you? Do you know Him today? If you don't, let me tell you something. You need to. And these altars are open anytime. They don't have to. You don't have to wait till the service is over and come down when the altar call is given. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, or you have something that you need to pray about, the altars are open any time that I'm preaching. The Spirit of God has full liberty here this morning. You see, it's not about me. It's about God. It's not about the man. It's about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has ransomed us. Oh, praise God. I like that song Big Daddy Weave sings, Redeemed. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. We were bought. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you something. I love it when I see a soul come to Jesus Christ. When I see a soul run to these altars. I was preaching in a church many years ago, and at the altar call, I give an altar call, 7 members of my family ran to the altar, except for one of them. And I said, if it's good enough for him, honey, it's good enough for you. And out the pew she came, and those people are serving God to this day. Not to the glory of man, but to the glory of God, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, we don't have a certain time to come to God. It's when the Spirit of God draws us that we answer that calling. We don't have to wait to the end of the service, but we can come now boldly into the throne room of God and receive mercy and grace in our time of need and trouble. Praise God. Praise God. You're looking at me, some of you are looking at me like I'm a crazy man this morning. Well, I am. Hallelujah. Yes, I am. I'm crazy for the Lord. Praise God. Like I always say, somebody said he's a nut. I said, yeah, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Yes, indeed. Praise God. I love God. I love His Word. I love everything about the Lord. His goodness and His mercies. He's brought me a long way through the years. In 1969, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, I have no regrets. None whatsoever. He has kept me through the years. Oh, let me tell you something. Have I stumbled along the way? Sometimes you better believe I have. But you know one thing? He was always there, ready to pick me up with His loving arms and to brush me off and to forgive me of my sins and restore me back to what He wanted me to be. Praise God. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of salvation. Hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love Him. Praise His holy name. Now I want to get into the word a little bit today, but before we do, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful today, God, that we can come, Lord, and we can gather together in your name, Lord, into the house of the Lord. Your psalmist said, Father, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Father, we come today praising your name, lifting you up, God. Lord, not with persuasive words of man, but with the wisdom and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God. We bring this message today that you have given your servant, Father, for this time and this hour, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that the anointing of the Spirit would be upon me, God. Father, those that sit up under the sound of my voice, Lord, would hear the words, God, that you have given your servant, Lord. Lord, that they may take it to their hearts, God. Father, that we may glean from you, Lord, and do that what's right and pleasing in your sight. In the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. There was a man many years ago that worked in a place my dad worked. And his wife was a Christian woman, and he wasn't. And she tried to get him to go to church with her. All the time after him about going to church. Will you go to church with me? And this man cursed terrible. He ran this overhead crane. Now this ain't my sermon, so let's throw this in a little extra this morning. But he ran this overhead crane at a foundry. And he would drop the iron down in the big tubulos, and it would melt. When he would drop it, the smoke would billow up around it. But he was enclosed in this apparatus here that he worked from. And many days his wife had prayed. I'm saying this to say you, don't give up. You keep praying because God's working. You hear me? If you're praying for a loved one, you're praying for a husband or a wife or a child, don't you give up. You pray all the much more. And it just so happened that one day when he was up there and that smoke would bill up, he would curse. He'd use God's name in vain. He would just curse. And one day the Spirit of God spoke to him. And he told this. He said when he dropped the load or iron in, the smoke billowed up, he bellowed out cursing. And the Spirit of God said, if you die today, where would your soul go? He thought he was hearing things. How many of you, sometimes you think you're hearing things when the Spirit of God's speaking to you? And you question it a little bit? Sure you do. Don't you get self-righteous with me this morning. You know you do. You're in church. If you lie, you fry. Yes, indeed. He said he dropped another load and the smoke bellowed up. And he said he began to curse again and he heard it again. If you would die today, where would your soul go? He said, he stopped the crane, looked all around, looked down on the ground. He was up in the air. He even crawled down off of the crane and looked around to see if anybody was there. Nobody was there. Three times it happened to him. God was dealing with his heart because his wife was praying. Sunday morning rolled around. He got up, when his wife got up to go to church, he looked at his wife, he says, can I go to church with you this morning? Oh, let me tell you something. That man gave his life to Jesus Christ that Sunday morning because of the Spirit of God spoke to him, because that wife was diligent in her prayers, because that woman didn't give up. Don't you give up today. I don't know who this is for this morning, but don't you give up. God is fixing to move. This message today is for somebody, who it may be, for several people. But I know that for four times now, the sermon that I'm going to preach today, others have preached around about it and on it as well. Somebody is struggling with something. There's a mountain somewhere. There's a river somewhere that you're facing and you don't know which way to go. But I want you to know one thing. God is a way maker. God has made the way. All you have to do is follow. I want you to turn with me today to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Some of you could probably quote this morning. We're going to leave there, and we're going to go back to the book of Ezra. So if you want to slip your finger in Ezra there. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord." Now let's go back to Ezra chapter 1. I'm going to build a little foundation here. The children of Israel had come to the end of the 70 years of captivity in Babylonia. King Cyrus was king in the first year of his reign. He began to set the children of Israel free. And that's what his word says here in this first chapter, in the first verse. He said, "Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia." I want you to notice something here. It says the spirit of God stirred him. It wasn't his thinking. It wasn't his thoughts, but it was the spirit of God that stirred his thinking here. You know what we need a lot of times? We need to let the Spirit of God stir our thinking sometimes, don't we? We need to get our minds and our thoughts centered and in tune with God and allow the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts into what He wants us to do and stop thinking about what man is thinking about you. Think what God is saying to your spirit and move along with the Spirit of God. That the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit in Cyrus, king of Persia. Jeremiah had prophesied that this many years back that these children were going into captivity, also that they would be turned set free. So that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying. Now, when God does something, He does it right. This king made a proclamation. He put it in writing. It couldn't be reversed. You got to understand that. That was his etiquette. "And given me, and he had commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea." He was a heathen king. The Spirit of God is touching him. And you know what we say sometimes? God, we don't think that God can touch somebody's soul. We look at a person and we judge that person by their character or by their being. And sometimes we will say, "Well, man, I don't think they'll ever get saved. That person is so terrible, I don't think God could ever reach a heart." Let me tell you something. There's no heart that God can't reach. There's no heart too hard that God can't reach. Stop thinking about that person that way. Quit speaking things over people's lives like that. Let me tell you something. The Word of God says speak life and not death into a person. You want to see that person saved? Begin to speak life over them. Begin to speak the Word of God over them. That God would convict them, and pray that God would convict that soul and draw them unto Him. "Who among you of all His people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel." The temple had been destroyed, completely destroyed, when the king of Babylonia took over. When he took the children of Israel into captivity, everything was completely destroyed. The house of God was totally torn down. Now, we've seen quite a bit of that here lately in our weather and in the terrorist attacks, that churches have been blown up. Churches have been destroyed by tornadoes and stuff. But you know what? Although the church may be destroyed, God is still alive. You hear what I said? God is still alive. Yes, He is. He's still the same God. Getting a little tongue-tied today. He's still the same God that He always was. And He'll always be the same God that He is today. Yes, He will. Regardless of the church, if a tornado comes tear the church down, God's still with the people. If terrorists attack it, God's still with the people. Makes no difference how far we're scattered, God is still with us as long as we have Him in our hearts and our lives. He is God. Now this is a heathen king saying this. He is God, which is in Jerusalem, and whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of this place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock beside the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. In other words, what he's saying is, you people that are left and you've got money and stuff like that, I want you to help these Jews. I want you to help these people rebuild this temple. I want the house of God to be rebuilt because God has put it in my heart to do this. God puts things in our hearts. We need to act on it, don't we? We don't need to mull over it and to wonder, well, I don't know if this is, you know, I really don't. God, this don't sound right. Let me tell you something. First of all, your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Your ways are not His ways. And He knows what's best. And He knows what He's doing. You may have to go through a process. You may have to go through some stuff to fulfill God's will, but let me tell you something. God will take you through it, and He will provide the way, even if He has to use a heathen nation. Be like the lady one time. She needed some bread, and she prayed and didn't know what she was going to do, so she got down and she prayed, Lord, I need bread. And about an hour later, a drunk comes stumbling up the road with a loaf of bread in his hand and knocked on the door and gave the lady a loaf of bread. She said, thank you, Jesus, even if a drunk did bring it. We don't know how God's, who He's going to use and how He's going to use it. But we know this in our hearts that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. We can put our trust and our confidence and our faith in Him. And if we don't have confidence in God, then we are lost. And we'll be like a ship on an ocean without a sail, just floundering around. But God is making a way. Then the heads of the fathers, house of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver, gold, and goods, and livestock, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put in the temple of his gods. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of the treasurer and counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the priest of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 gold platters, 1,000 silver platters, 29 knives, 30 gold basins, 410 silver basins of similar kind, and 1,000 articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All these Sheshbazzar took with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem. We see that these people are being set free. They're going back. And God has put it in this king's heart, this heathen king, to have the temple rebuilt so these people could go back and worship God. When God does something, and God gives us something to do, a task to do, there's always going to be some opposition. Don't you think for one time the enemy of your soul is going to stand on the sideline and applaud and say, oh, isn't that great? God has given him a job to do. I want to sit back and watch it. No, it ain't going to happen like that. Something is going to come up. Something is going to get in the way. But you know what? We don't stop, do we? We press on. And in the Word of God, He commanded him to build this temple. It was God's doing, and when God is in it, let me tell you something, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but God is going to move by His Spirit, and it's going to happen. Now, I don't know what you're facing today, and I don't know what your needs may be, but I can tell you today, God will make a way. He will make a way when you think there is no way. Let me ask you one thing. These people were in captivity for 70 years. Do you think for one minute that they were sitting there rejoicing, thinking, oh boy, at the end of 70 years, everything's going to be fine? No, they won't. It didn't happen like that, did it? Some of them kept the faith, though, didn't they? They had the prophets to tell them, encourage them. God never left them alone. He always sent them word. God will never leave us alone. He always has a word for you and I. If we would just listen to the voice of God. He said, my eyes are ever watchful over my children, and my ears are ever attentive to their voices. God wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in your life. Don't sit and hold it in and sulk and cry over it, but cry out to God and tell him what your problems are. Tell him what's going on in your life and watch God move. Have faith and confidence in God. And in Ezra 3:10, Zerubbabel and the workers laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. And at the end of the foundation was laid, the word of God said, they came in and they began to sing and praise God responsibly. That they began to lift up the name of Jesus just over the foundations. And a strange thing happened. The old people, when they came in, they remembered, the word of God said, they remembered the grandeur and the splendor of the temple that used to be. And all of a sudden, it was gone. But they remembered it, and they began to weep and cry over those things. But the young people at the foundations of the new temple, they began to praise God and they began to rejoice in God. And it was a mixture of weeping and rejoicing. The word of God said it was so loud that it could be heard for miles away. You know what? A lot of times we don't rejoice over the things of God anymore, do we? We take things for granted anymore. That God, oh, is God supposed to do this for me? We don't share it anymore with people around us. Oh, let me tell you something. We happened to be in a restaurant here not too long ago. And my wife, I know I can say this now because she doesn't work at the same place. But one of her patients happened to be in there. And this woman began to share with my wife. She recognized my wife. She said, oh, Barbara, how's your alpha gal? How many of you know what alpha gal is? That's when you and a lone star tick get together. And he bites you, and he injects this stuff into you, and you can't eat anything anymore except for whatever flies or swims. And it's bad, especially when your mouth is watering for a steak, and you know if I eat it, what's going to happen? That's alpha gal. I don't know why the president let them people bring them Texas ticks down here, no way. And he took them back home. We don't like that stuff in Virginia. She said, how is your alpha gal? And before my wife could answer, I answered. You see, I was excited to tell because I knew what had happened, because during a revival one night, I called the evangelist over. I said, pray for her. She's got alpha gal. I explained to him what it was. I said, she can't eat meat, nothing but chicken and fish and turkey. And believe me, ground turkey, and turkey bacon is a pits. You see, I eat it with her, trying to support her. That man laid hands on her. God touched her. She went home. She ate a piece of venison. That's deer meat. She ate a piece of venison and she started to get sick, and she claimed the healing in Jesus' name. The sickness left and that woman could eat it. Boy, she can eat steak now. Oh, my goodness. Whoo, my goodness. She'll order everything on the menu except for the man's name. The only reason she don't get that is because she can't pronounce it. But I give God the glory for that and the praise. I'm glad that she can eat whatever she wants to. It's to God's glory, not to man's glory. When that woman said, how's your alpha gal? I said, let me tell you. I said, one night in a church service, I said, she was anointed and prayed for, and God healed her. And her husband busted out laughing. But that's okay. We're going to meet opposition. In anything we do, we're going to meet opposition. There's always going to be somebody to say, well, I don't believe. I told a man one time, I said, pray for your wife. Well, I can tell you right now, ain't no man going to heal nobody. I said, you're exactly right. Well, that ain't what you just said. I said, God would heal them. God uses us. You understand what I'm saying? We're the church. God give gifts to the church. Did you hear me? If you don't believe it, read it. Get in the New Testament and in Corinthians and read about those gifts that God gave the church. Do you know that one of those gifts was the gift of healing? You don't have to walk around sick. My friend said his wife couldn't hear. And she was praying one day, and God says, well, you didn't say anything to me that you wanted to be healed. And she said, and I prayed and asked God. She said, I took my hearing aid out and I could hear, and I give it to my mother-in-law that can't hear. Some people say, oh, man, I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe it. It's for those that believe anyway. So, you hear what I'm saying? It's for those that believe. You either a believer or you're not a believer. It's your choice. I'm not going to force it on you. I know what these eyes have seen. I know the obstacles that I've been through. I know the mountains that have been in front of me, and I've watched God make them into molehills. Praise God. You can't take that away from me. You can make fun of me all you want to, but you know one thing? Me and Jesus know what's going on. And I'm going to praise his name for it. I'm going to give him glory as long as he gives me breath. You don't know where God brought me from. I do. I know the obstacles I had in my life. I know the obstacles that these people were presented with. Let me tell you something. When they began to praise God and to sing and to glorify God, let me tell you something, it didn't end there. And if you go into the fourth chapter of Ezra, you'll find out that opposition came. Oh, I would like to say that, oh man, they built it and everything was just fine in that fourth chapter, but it didn't happen like that. Opposition came. You read it. You go in there, read the fourth and the fifth and the sixth chapters, and you'll find out all the opposition that it came. It came by man. It came by some of their own people. The opposition came. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. My manager one day asked me about a problem we were having in our department. We was all in this meeting. And he said, what seems to be the problem? I looked at him, I said, we have found the enemy, and it is us. He looked at me and grinned. He said, you are exactly right. He said, it's coming from within. And a lot of times that's where opposition comes, from within. Instead of lifting one another up, Instead of praying and seeking God, we listen too much to other people and not to the voice of God. A lot of times we don't get the victory because we're not listening to what the Word of God said. God said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Faith, he said, just a mustard seed faith. These people had faith to believe that this king had turned them loose and told them to build, and they started to build. The foundation was laid. I'm telling you, Zerubbabel laid the foundation of that temple, and those people worked. They were stirred by the Spirit of God to labor. We need to allow the Spirit of God to stir our hearts and our lives and quit making excuses for why we can't do this and why we can't do that. God says we can. There's a church down on 460. They got a sign. I think it's still out there. The bank said no, but God said so. And they built a beautiful church and a big multi-purpose building beside it. You see, they were facing something. They were facing a bank and a mountain there that man was telling them, nope, can't do it. But they knew the voice of God, and God was saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to move on. And they began to move. They began to trust God. Hallelujah. 3135 Ford Avenue. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've been moving for years, and God is still moving. We started with a tent. Yep, we did. In case you didn't know, we started with a tent. And look what it's blossomed into today. It's still a lighthouse, regardless of what man says. Regardless of what the enemy of our soul may come against us. We needed an easement back here on this back part back here one time. We was facing something. We needed something bad. We needed to have an exit back here. And we didn't have one. So one day the pastor of the church, how many of you saw that old gray-headed man that was in here Sunday, him and his wife, old 91 years old, man of God. I'm not making fun of him. I love that man. That man taught me a lot in my walk with Jesus Christ. You see, when I got saved, that man nurtured me along the way a lot, him and his wife both. That man began to call on God, and God directed him to go down. There used to be a fence and a hedgerow back there. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to walk that hedgerow. You see, we'd already went to one person and asked them, did they want to sell their house? We offered, I think the offer was $10,000. And they said, no, indeed, we are not going to sell to the church. But you know what? God had him to go down and tell him to, he said, you walk. I want you to walk. And I want you to claim that property for me. And he began to walk back and forth and began to proclaim the word of God and to claim that property for God and for the work of God. Oh, it won't long. Maybe a week or two later, I believe it was, they come up and said, we'll sell it to you. I think it was like $3,000. Yes, indeed. God is a mountain mover. He's a mountain mover. I got an amen over here on this side. I didn't hear nothing over here. Is there a mountain in your way? Hallelujah. Is there a river that you can't cross? Listen, the word of God said if you'll step in, the waters will roll back. Yes, indeed. These people had opposition. Opposition came when the foundation was laid. But I want to tell you something. If you go back to Zechariah chapter 4, in verse 6, God sent a message. And starting with verse 1, he says, now, the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand and a solid gold and a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? The angel of the Lord who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God directed Zechariah to prophesy to Zerubbabel, who had laid the foundations of the temple and now was facing opposition. And he was telling him it's not going to be done by might. It's not going to be done by power. But it was going to be done by the Spirit of God. And how many of you in this house today know that everything that's done is done by the Spirit of God? Prophecy is given by the inspiration of God. Souls are won by the Spirit of God moving in that person's life. I'm telling you. It's all by the Spirit of God. It's not by might. It's not by works that lest any man should boast. We can't boast of anything except our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we can boast on. He is the one that gives us the strength and leads us and guides us and takes us through these things. I like what these next few verses say. It says, in the seventh verses, he says, "Who are you, O great mountain?" You see, all of this is symbolic. The olive trees, the lampstands and the lamp and everything. The lampstand is, if in Revelation, it represents the church. But in this instance here, in this prophecy, it's talking about Zerubbabel and the building of the temple here. He talks about, I just read it to you, it talks about the seven lamps on the stand. And seven pipes going to each one of those things. And the two olive trees right by the lampstand and the big bowl that's there. You see, what's happening is those two olive trees, they represent an unending supply of oil going into that big basin. And that basin is running down through those pipes. And each pipe goes to each candle. And it's fed. But the oil is fed and it burns continuously without any help of anyone. You see, it's showing us what God can do. And he's saying to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Then he asked the question, who are you, O great mountain? That's what we need to say when we're faced. Who are you, O great mountain? I like what he says right here in this next verse here. He goes on. He says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, I don't know what you're facing, but God says that mountain will become a molehill if you will trust in him and put your confidence in him and allow him to work through that thing. Give God time to work. You can't rush God. He's never late. He's always on time. He's an on-time God, and he wants to work for you because he loves you and cares for you. He takes great delight in answering your prayers. I like that song Big Daddy Weave sang, Redeemed. In one verse in that thing, he said, why are you still fighting a battle that's already been won? Hallelujah. God's already fought the fight for you. The battle's already been won. He told David, he said, David, the victory is yours. The battle's mine, but the victory is yours. David, the psalmist David said, I praise God every day. He said, in fact, I praise him seven times a day. You know, one thing is hard to get in this time and day now in the church. It's hard to get people in the church to even praise God one time on Sunday. The Word of God said we need to praise him every day. Thomas David said, seven times a day will I praise his name. If you think you don't have anything to praise God about it, I want you to stop and think back in your life where God brought you from and the obstacles that he brought you of. The children that you have in your life. God has blessed you beyond measure. You need to recognize the blessings of God and give him glory and praise. And the more glory and praise you give God, the more he will pour back on you. He will lavish it all over you. Do you believe that? You're mighty pitiful. Do you believe that? All right. Praise God. God loves his people, doesn't he? He wants to work through us. I don't know what the obstacles in your life are, but I know that these people faced a mountain. They faced an obstacle. They faced these people that were coming against them and telling them they couldn't build. You need to go and read it. Oh, man, it's a wonderful story how God, how the people stopped the work there and how they wrote back to the king and the king wrote back to them. I think it's in the sixth chapter where finally the king wrote back and said, listen, I'm paraphrasing that. The decree was made. Take your hands off of them people. Give them anything they need. I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it out of the king's treasury. And whatever they need, I'm going to supply the need. Now you leave them alone and let them build the temple. God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't care if you have a need. Let me tell you something. Get down and pray and seek God and tell Him that you have a need. And when you pray, get up and start looking for the need. Look for the answer. Whew. Are we supposed to do things like that? I had a person ask me one time, are we supposed to pray like that? Oh, yes, indeed. By all means. God said, you have not because you ask not. And if you ask, believe that you've already received it, and you shall receive it, he says. Why do you fret over these things? He said, the heathens and those, he said, they worry about these things. Why do you worry about those things? God's a prayer answering God, isn't he? If we'll just give him time and exercise some faith in him. He said, this mountain that you face is going to come down. It's going to be like a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. In other words, God bless it, God bless it, God bless it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm going forward. God bless it. God bless the church. God bless you. God laid the foundations. Ha! And man is building on that foundation. And I want you to know something. He said, in the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. God is on our side, regardless of what man says. Quit looking at the news media. Quit listening to all that negativism that people are telling you. That you can't do this and you can't do that. You praise God anyway. If they tell you you can't praise God, say, watch me. You need to give God the glory, because you know what? We got people out here in this world that are hurting, that are looking for something that's tangible, something that's real and genuine. They've heard enough lies. They've seen enough false statements being made. They want to see something that's genuine. And God is the best thing we can ever give them. Yes, indeed. God will move those mountains for you if you will put your trust in him. He said they'll become like a molehill. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord. I like what Jeremiah said. And the mountains melt like wax in the presence of God. Did you hear what I said? The mountains shall melt like wax in the presence of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? Who can separate you from God's mighty hand? Hallelujah. Who is God? And what is man that he can do to me? Hallelujah. God is my hope and he's my strength. And in him I put my trust. Praise God. Matthew 21 and 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto the mountains, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's the promises of God. What is it about the promise of God that we can't grasp hold to and accept? It's there. The old saying goes, when you remember the cast, some of you, I'm going to tell your age right now. Carol and Tracy, I'm not telling their age, they're the young people of the church. But they know the old saying. The cookie jar, you remember the cookie jar years ago, you sit in the store? How many of you remember that? Oh, you don't want to tell your age, I see what you're doing. I remember. Yeah. You'd go and buy a cookie. I remember I could get a big old cake and a drink for 10 cents. Yes, indeed. You could get a big old cookie. Am I lying? Bobby knows. There you go, Bobby. Thank you, Bobby. You get a big old cookie like that for a penny. Man, and them things were good. Them days are gone, though. But you know what? The old saying goes, when you got your hand in the cookie jar, don't just get one. Get a handful. Get a whole handful. Let me tell you something. When you're in the presence of God, don't just settle for a little bit, but get caught up in God like Ezekiel did when the Spirit of God carried him out into the water. He said, I went out and it was ankle deep. And he said, and then he carried me out a little further and it was up to the loins. He said, and the next thing I know, the Spirit of God took me up and it was a river deep enough to swim in. We need to get into that river. Hallelujah. Into the Spirit of God and let God purge us and cleanse us and work through us to the glory of God. Hallelujah in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about today? Yes, indeed. Let the Spirit of God move. Don't be afraid to praise God in church. Don't be afraid to lift your hands in public. Don't be afraid to bow your head and say the blessing. You never know who's watching you. You never know who's looking. The Word of God says we are epistles seen and read of all men. I want to tell you something. When somebody looks and reads me, I want them to know that I love Jesus Christ. I want them to know that I have a Savior. And when they look at me and see that, I want them to think, where do you go to church at? Mm-hmm. I go to Love and Truth Community. We love Jesus. And we allow him to have his way. Not our way, but his way. We pray and seek his face for his will, not our will, but his will to be done. And whatever his will is, we accept it. Because we know it's the right way. And we want what God wants. Well, I do. I'm speaking for me. I didn't hear no amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kitty. Yes, indeed. Whew. I'm telling you, Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There's nothing, nothing too hard for you. If you think something is too hard, go to God in prayer. Look at Jeremiah. Go back and read Ezra and Zechariah. There's nothing too hard. God is going to bring you through, not by might and not by power, but by his Spirit, God's going to bring you through. All you have to do is trust him. The old song said, God knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Mine for the day, all along the way. Yes, indeed. So simple, isn't it? But we make it sound so hard. We wring our hands and we walk the floor. God, what am I going to do? You're going to trust God. And God's going to tell you, I've got your back. If you'll just trust me, I'm going to bring you through this thing. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to provide a way for you. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell on myself. My wife, that woman, she just makes too much money. She called me to have to pay taxes this year. Yes, she did. But thank God for that. That's a blessing. Yes, indeed. There were many times in my life I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I'm telling you I didn't. Didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Couldn't pray. Had to pray a lot of times to get where I was going because the car was going to run out of gas. Yes, indeed. You said, brother, you going to tell that stuff? Yeah, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to give God some glory. Ain't nothing wrong. That's what's wrong with you now. You get rid of that old piousness out of you. That old self-righteousness, and you get down and you begin to praise God and tell people what God, how God has brought you. You don't never know when somebody's going through that thing. You see, the Word of God says for us to comfort those wherewith we have been comforted. That's right. Man, I remember walking across the parking lot like this on the backs of my heels because it rained and I didn't want to get my feet wet because I had holes in the bottom of my shoes. Oh, some of you said, I won't admit that. I'm admitting it. You know what happened? Unbeknownst to me, one day at break, the whole group had got together and bought me a brand new pair of shoes because they knew I couldn't afford it. That's my Lord, my God. That's my Lord, my Savior. Yes, indeed. You say, well, brother, I can't take charity. You give your life to Jesus, didn't you? It didn't cost you a dime. He gave it to you. Yes, indeed. Now you get off that old high horse. and you give God some glory. Many times, God has provided through people. You see, the mountains were there, the walls were there, the rivers were there, but God brought them down. Yeah, we had to pay taxes. I said, man, what in the world is going on here? It wasn't as bad at this time as it one time before. One time before, they told me I owed $10,000 to the IRS. How many of you know you don't want to fool with the IRS? But you know what? God made a way. The lady said, you owe this year. I said, oh, man, what am I going to do? Lord, what am I going to do? You know what? It won't maybe an hour or two later. God provided the way. Here it is. Right here. Mail your check off. That's God. That's God. Putting your trust and your confidence in Him. Not knowing which way to turn. Not knowing what you're going to do. But then you get on your knees and you pray and you seek God and say, God, it's in your hands. And watch God move. Oral Roberts' mother told a story one time. And Oral Roberts told this about his mother. He said one time they were in need. They didn't have anything to eat, and she told them they was going to visit the neighbors. And he said they got down, and they all went, her and all the children went to visit the neighbors. He said, and man, the neighbors were eating supper, and it smelled so good. And they said, Miss Roberts, won't you come in and have supper with us? Oh, no, she said, God's going to provide. And he was saying that. I said, oh, man, we were so hungry. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know what Mama was talking about. We didn't have anything to eat. I said, we visited with those people and we wanted to eat, but we couldn't because Mama told us no. He said, but when we got back home, we run up on the porch and went to open the door and we couldn't get the door open. And we forced the door. And finally we got the door open. It was so many groceries piled up in the floor that it had blocked the door. Whoo! He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and run it over. Praise God. He said, if you will do my will, you will never lack for anything. Put your trust and your confidence in God, and you will never lack for anything. The psalmist David said, I was young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Do you know that your blessings flow over to your children? Did you know that? The things that you do for God overflow to your children. Hallelujah. I see some of the children looking at their parents. Y'all better straighten up. My cousin led her mom and dad to Jesus Christ. She's gone on, her dad's gone on, her mother's still living and praising God. Yes, indeed. Makes no difference the obstacles. Makes no difference. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Oh, praise God. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't care what God has told you to do. Maybe you've laid some foundation and you don't know what to do. You don't know where the funds are going to come from to finish what you're doing. But if you will put your trust in God, God will make the way. He'll make the way. I'm telling you, he will make the way. I'm telling you from the voice of experience, God will make a way when you think there is no way. God moves in ways that you cannot fathom if you will trust in him. Trust God. Trust him. Try. That's what he says in Malachi. That's exactly the words he says in Malachi. He says, trust, try me in this. Try me, he said, and see what I do. Pay your tithes and give to the poor and give to God and watch what I do for you. That's what his word says. I'm telling you what the word of God says. If you don't believe it, look in the third chapter of Malachi and read it for yourself. You see, you don't know because you don't read. A lot of times people don't know the things of God because they don't read the Word of God. They don't get into the Word of God. They wait for the preacher or the Sunday school teacher to tell them a little ditty about some things, and then they go their way and they think, oh man, I know the Word of God. No, you don't. When obstacles come, you don't know what to do. You're walking around wringing your hands. Oh, what am I gonna do? God, where are you? Well, you should have been paying attention. You should have been listening to the Word of God, and you should have been in the Word of God reading, and then you'll know, oh, I know what the Word of God says. It's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord, God of hosts. And He said He will supply my needs according to His riches and glory. For He is God and He is mighty. He has a never-ending bank account. And He takes delight in answering your prayers. You don't know, brother, what I'm going through. I had the lights turned. I had my lights turned off too before. That's right. Run in the house and the kids click the light on. Did we ain't got no lights. You see, I was in a mountain situation back then. It was just me and three little bitty kids. And that's it. And one income, and that won't much. But you know one thing? They were turned back on immediately. Not by this man, and not by the might, but by the Spirit of God working through somebody else. Yes, indeed. I had a phone call. The man said, are you the man with those three children that live up on the mountain by yourself, you and the three kids? I said, yes, ma'am. I'll be up in a few minutes. Click up. He comes to cuss my lights back on. That's God. That's Him. God, I don't have enough gas to get to church tonight. And I'm a youth leader. And I, Lord, I got to have a service, Father, but I'm empty. I come here on empty. And me and the three kids, we're here on empty, God. What am I going to do? How am I going to get back at 6 o'clock and hold service for the young people? Lord, I just don't know what to do. Then I go and I sit down in my car and I have to look. And there, stuck between the radio dials, was a $10 bill folded up that God had laid on somebody's heart to put in my car. Yes, indeed. One night I prayed and we had ate everything that we had. The last thing we ate was a pot pie. I'm talking about the little ones back in. I ain't talking about these Marie Callender ones now that you get real nice and got all that good stuff. I'm talking about one, you know, the ones in that little tin thing. Whew. That was the last thing we ate. Nobody knew this but me and my family. And I was to come to church and have a training session here. And I says, Lord, what am I going to do? I went in the bedroom and I got down on my knees and I prayed and I sought God. And I told nobody and I come to church. I come in with a smile on my face and a praise upon my lips for Jesus Christ. I didn't come in like the Pharisees are described. I fast. I come in with a smile, my head up high and my shoulders back. You see, the Word of God says He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. We may be down, but you know one thing? He picks us up. That's right. He knows how to pick us up. I walked into the service, and we had service, and long about an hour passed. We had a break, and a man walked up to me, and he handed me an envelope. It was folded up. It looked like a piece of trash. It was so folded up. He said, somebody told me to give this to you, that they felt like you needed this. And I thought he was joking with me. And I said, oh, who told you? He said, I'm not supposed to tell. Well, I unrolled it. And there was a corner toe on the envelope. And I could see green. How many of you know you recognize that green? Oh, I was walking along one time in a ditch. And this green caught my eye. And it wasn't grass. It was the green, the color of the dollar bill. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I saw that green and I began to praise God. And I got excited and well up within my soul I was excited. Because I knew God had answered the prayer. He had tore the mountain down and I was going to walk through. Oh, a molehill that used to be a mountain. There was five $20 bills in that envelope. You see, I didn't count it. I waited till I got to the store and I thought to myself, hey, dummy, you got to count it so you know how much to spend when you get inside. Well, when I opened it up, there was five $20 bills. That was back in the early 60s. So you know how much you could buy back then. Oh, I went home with a carload. Rejoicing in Jesus. Not just one time, but many times. God has made a way. the enemy of my soul would come against me. When people would say, you ain't gonna make it. You know one thing? I put my trust and my confidence in Jesus Christ. Not only in me, but those as well. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was faced, he was faced with insurmountable odds against his people, and he didn't know what to do, but he sought God and he prayed, and the people began to praise God and give God praise and glory. And the next thing you knew, he went and looked over the cliff where the armies were advancing on him, and they were fighting each other. They were killing each other. And not to mention him, but Joshua in chapter 3, when the children of Israel had, when all the people had died off that couldn't go into the promised land because of unbelief. It's what the word of God says. They couldn't go in because of unbelief. And when they got to the Jordan, the new generation was there except for Joshua and Caleb. They were the ones that had faith and believed, and God kept their faith. When the others come back and said, we can't do it, Joshua and Caleb said, we can with the help of the Lord, we can. You can do it with God's help, you can do it. Don't you give up. They got to the river, and God told them, he says, I want you to cross the river, but I want you to send the priest with the Ark of the Covenant first. How many of you know this story? I see some hands shaking. Well, it's in Joshua chapter 3. Read it. They got to the river. And you know what was going on with the river? You know, they said, well, you know, they crossed the Red Sea. It's pretty good, you know. Oh, no. That was a mountain. That was a river. That was a flood there. The word of God said because of the spring rains, the Jordan River had overflowed its banks. In other words, how many of you remember seeing a river when it's flooded? How many of you remember the flood of 1969? Some of you are telling your age. I happened to be in that flood, by the way. Man, that water come all the way up. I mean, it come up into the foundry down there and flooded everything. And that's what was going on. That's what was happening. And he says, you have the priest step in the water. And when they step in, the waters will roll back. Can you imagine those priests? They're walking along with the Ark of the Covenant. They're carrying it. They're in front of it, praising God and singing. Here we're getting closer to the edge of that water. Man, that water is raging. It's flooding. Can you imagine? Maybe that might have been a little doubt. But when that priest lifted his foot to put down in that water, those waters said, shoo! For 23 miles, the water backed up and flooded the cities. Yes, indeed. They didn't walk across in shallow water, and they didn't walk across in mud. The soles of their feet never got muddy, or they never got wet. It says they walked across on dry ground. Hallelujah. And they gave God praise and glory. Praise God. You say, but I'm not Joshua, and I'm not Jehoshaphat. No, you're not. You may not be Peter, and you might not be Paul. Three times Peter was jailed, and God set him free. Not by man's power, but by the Spirit of God. The angel of God set him free. Paul was put into prison and was set free. Paul and Silas were set free by the Spirit of God. No, you might not be neither one of these people, but you know one thing? You serve the same God that they serve. The same God that those people, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. Well, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't have a clue what your mountains are, what your difficulties are. What river may be in your way? What mountain may be in your way? What valley? And you may be saying to yourself, I don't know which way to go. But I know what the Word of God says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He will tell you which way to go. You see, they started out and they laid a foundation, hallelujah, and it was brought to completion. God saw that it would be done, and he said, by the hands that laid the foundation, the same hands are gonna fulfill that temple. They're gonna build that temple, and it's gonna have a happy ending. All praise God. As soon as it was finished and the walls were rebuilt, if you go into Nehemiah led them up on the walls of the city. One group went down one way and one group went down the other way. And they were singing. You remember how we used to sing, what we used to call it in the round. I forgot what the Bible calls it now. One group was saying one thing and the other group was saying another. Hallelujah. One was saying hallelujah, the other was saying praise God. They were singing and rejoicing because of what God has done. Let me tell you something, you may be down, but you're not out. The waters may sweep over you, but let me tell you one thing, you won't drown. You may walk through the fire, but you will not be burned. For the word of God says, behold, he says, I have overcome the world. Take heart, he says, I have overcome the world. Praise God. All authority and power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. All we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is trust in God and in his word, and he will direct our paths. I'm telling you from experience, I know what God can do. Praise God. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I know I went a little long. I'm sorry. But I don't apologize for the word of God. When God says quit, I quit. I don't quit till he says quit. Because I've got to answer to him, not you. I've got to answer to God. And you know what? The roast won't burn. And you'll get in line at the restaurant today. But you know one thing? You can give God some glory. And while you're in the restaurant today, there may be somebody in there that let me tap you on the shoulders and say, hey, I'm glad you bowed your head and said the blessing. Have you ever done that? I have. I said, I really appreciate you doing that. You never know how that builds a person up. Just a kind word. Just one word speaking to somebody, how it builds them up. You know how it feels when God speaks to you? You know how it builds you up? How it lifts your spirit? When the Spirit of God says, don't worry about this, I'm going to take care of you. It's the same way. We need to comfort others as we've been comforted by the Spirit of God. And watch God move. If you've got a problem today and you don't know Jesus, these altars are open to you this morning. I'm telling you, you can come down. I want to pray with you. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today as your Savior and Lord, maybe you're going through a situation. Maybe you've got a mountain today. Maybe you're facing a river that you can't cross. Maybe it's a flood stage and you don't know what to do. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to pray and I want to believe with you today. You see, that's what the Word of God says, for us to pray for one another and lift one another up. Bow one another's burdens is what the Word of God says. So if you're in here today, you know what? I'm not going to even ask you to bow your head or close your eyes. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody today, and you won't be embarrassed. You know what? I told a doctor one time I'd go to the emergency room. I got heart problems. I do. I had heart problems, and I would have these pains like a man having a heart attack. My arms would hurt, and I would get short of breath, and I would go to the emergency room, and they would tell me, no, it's not your heart this time. It's your back. And I went so many times I would go. And finally, one day, I told this doctor, I said, look, man, I said, do you know how embarrassing this is? Do you know how embarrassing it is when I come over here and it's not my heart, it's my back? He looked at me and he asked me a question, and I've never forgot it. And we need to ask ourselves this question. Would you rather be embarrassed or would you rather be dead? He said, we know that you already have coronary artery disease, and we don't know till we get you in here, whether it's your back or whether it's your heart. Don't you ever not come. Listen to me, don't you never not come when God is calling you. When the Spirit of God is speaking to you, don't you never not stop. You come to these altars and you get on your knees and you talk to God. You see, people don't know what you're coming for. They don't know whether you're coming for salvation or whether you're coming that you have a need. Let me tell you something. These people, my Christian brothers and sisters, if they're doing what's right according to the Scripture, they want to come and pray with you. They want to get in and help you seek God for what's going on in your life. You see, we need that, don't we? So the altars are open today. And if you're here today and you're in need, you need Jesus, let me tell you something. Come on down. Walk right on down and come on to God. You know what I used to watch in Billy Graham crusades? Let me tell you one thing. When he called an altar call, as soon as he said it, people were just flowing to the altars to give their lives to Jesus Christ. They wanted a change in their life, and they didn't care who saw it. Come on today. Come on down. Won't you come on down while my sister plays? God's here, and He wants to meet you here at this altar today. He wants to hear your problems. He wants to take your needs. He wants to move those mountains and whatever else comes your way, God wants them. God can do it if you let Him do it. Put your trust in Him today. Praise God. If not, you're dismissed.